Father, you are holy. And we praise you in this place today because of who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that we can come and worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to do that. And we ask that you will bless us for our time here together today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Freedom. It's a term we throw around a lot, but it is something that we definitely need. We are looking in the book of Galatians at the 6th chapter, the 7th through 9th verse. All about the book of Galatians is about freedom. It's about freedom from laws and rules. It's about freedom to live your life underneath the grace and power of our Heavenly Father. And it's saying, why would you take yourself and put you back under bondage after you've been set free? God has set us spiritually free. Don't put yourself back under bondage. But in our world today, we seem to be wanting to put ourselves back underneath bondage. This America that we live in is a free nation. Freedom to travel, freedom to go, freedom to do. And in the last few years, we've seen how quickly those freedoms can be removed, taken from us. We have freedom of religion in this country. Part of our founding fathers felt that that was extremely important, that we put that in our Constitution, that we had it there for us, that we have freedom to worship as we please. Not freedom from religion, freedom of religion. You see, the people that wrote that Constitution, the people who wrote those Bill of Rights, came to this nation because they wanted religious freedom. They came here because they were underneath the Britain rule, the English rule that said you must be a part of this church, you must be a part of that thing. And they said, listen, we want freedom to worship God in our own way. And we praise God that we can do that. But some of those freedoms are being taken away. Praise God for our Supreme Court this week that allowed a wedding designer up in the Denver area to be able to say, no, I will not serve just anyone and everyone. That's my choice. You remember those signs we used to see on restaurants when you walked in that said, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone? Not anymore. Now, if someone refuses to serve you, you can take them to court. You can sue them. And often, the court side with the person that says, you know, they wouldn't bake me a cake. I know one thing. If I had a baker who refused to bake me a cake, I don't think I'd eat it if they finally decided to bake it. Right? Move down the road. I cannot walk into a Muslim restaurant and order pork. They're not going to do it because that's part of what they do. I cannot walk into a Jewish restaurant and order pork. I cannot order things that are against their religion. But if it's Christianity, that's another form. We've been looking at the 6th chapter beginning last week and helping understand the laws of the harvest. These are from a little book. These messages come that was written by John Lawrence years ago on the 7 realities of reaping and sowing. 7 laws to help us with the harvest and understand that. Folks, we reap. We reap and we sow. Let's read that verse there in Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We could stop right there, folks. Man, that's you cannot mock God. You may think you're getting away with it. You know, you're not. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Help us understand these 7 laws of the harvest. Last week we looked at the first law, and that was, we reap much that we do not sow. Positive and negative. I've reaped many things in my life, positive, that I didn't have anything to do with. Sunday school teachers, pastors, different people, individuals who have helped me to get to where I am in my life, far from where I need to be, but praise God that they didn't give up, and I reap the benefits of that. We reap the benefits today in this place of many who gave their lives. We just celebrated Memorial Day. We gave their lives so we could have the freedoms to worship, to come and to be here. And many of you that sit in this place who gave part of your life, that wrote on the bottom line of that form that said, I will give everything, even up into my life, for my country so that my nation can remain free. And I'm sorry to say right now, we're trying to sell it out. It's sad. But we reap much that we do not sow. We get to experience that in people's life. Other people that have given so that we can have our freedoms that we have. Tuesday we get to celebrate that on July the 4th, Independence Day, a day in which many gave their life so that this nation could be born and be free. It's not about hot dogs and hamburgers and homemade ice cream, but that's good, no doubt. We must remember how we got here. We must remember why we got here. And remember how it can be taken away if we're not careful. Because we reap much we do not sow positively, but we also reap much we do not sow negatively. We don't have to do a whole lot to reap the negative. You have a yard, you have a garden, and what happens? What grows faster than anything? The weeds. They grow. Now, we at the church have weeds that are drug addicts. We can spray them with Roundup, and they will grow overnight. I don't know. They're drug addicts. But often weeds in our nation, weeds in our family, weeds in our churches, weeds in our society are growing, and we sometimes reap those things. Laws are passed that we have nothing to do with, but we have to come underneath. We must stand up, folks, because it's happening. We reap much we did not sow. The second law we want to look at today is this. We reap the same kind as we sow. The basic principle of sowing and reaping is found throughout the entire Bible. But God says here, we reap what we sow. It's kind of a cause and effect way. The farmer who sows wheat can expect to grow wheat. The farmer who sows corn can expect to grow corn. The farmer doesn't go out and plant seeds and go, I wonder what I'm going to get. I wonder what's going to happen. He knows that if he plants a certain seed, he's going to get a certain crop. That's important for us to realize. That God also said, not only do you reap the same kind as you sow, but you also need to understand, be careful where you sow. Paul dealt with it here. He looked at our material possessions as seed. He said, two possible kinds of soil, the flesh and the spirit. Where are we sowing in our life? Our time, our talents, our energies, our abilities. Where are we putting those things? So we want to see that. Once we finish sowing, we cannot change the harvest. We cannot sow and say, we're going to put all this down and sow corn and then say, oh, you know what? Squash is really good this year. I think I'll just change and tell my corn to turn into squash. It doesn't work that way. Now, you can try all you want, but it doesn't change the fact of what you sow is what you're going to get in that way. So, Anything we sow to the flesh is going to bring a harvest of corruption. In 1974, some of you are going, man, that's a long time back. And some of you are thinking, that's only like 5 or 6 years ago. There was a guy named Harry Chapin. And he wrote in his record album the lyrics of the song to help us understand we reap what we sow. And it says this. A child arrived just the other day, came into the world in the usual way. There were bills to catch and planes to catch and bills to pay. And he learned to walk while I was away. And as he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be just like you, Dad. I'm going to be just like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon and the little boy Boo and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. We'll get together then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, well, not today. I got a lot to do, but he said, that's okay. And as he walked away, his smile never dimmed, and he said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, I'm going to be just like him. Well, he came home from college just the other day, so most of a man I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Why don't we sit for a while? And he looked at me and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. Can I have them? See you later, please. And the cat's in the cradle. The silver spoon, little boy Blue and a man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. I don't know when. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids with the flu. But it's been sure nice talking to you, Dad. Sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me my son was just like me. He'd grown up just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy Blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then. Whatever we sow, we reap. In our families, we sow that. We sow not only time, we sow attitudes, we sow anger, we sow joy, we sow disappointment. We sow positive things too. We sow in our children positive things that help them understand a faith and a trust in God. And we do that. So in the second law, we're going to see some things here. The second law says this. We're going to begin with the beginning. How about that? That's a good place to start. We're going to begin with the beginning. The second law is simple as planting seeds in the garden and as complex as raising children. You see, planting seeds in the garden is pretty simple. I go out and dig and plant and put them in the ground and wait. But it can be as complex as raising children. It's never, ever, ever over. I don't care how old your children are. It's never over. You're a parent till the day you're gone, and then your legacy should live on in them also. It has its beginning in the days of creation, this law does. God declared that everything, number one, was to produce after its own kind. In Genesis 1:11 through verse 25, he says, the grass, the seed, and the plants and the trees will produce after their kind. The sea creatures will produce after their kind. Birds will produce after their kind. Land creatures will produce after their kind. You see, God ordained a kind from the very beginning. Not just in humans. He ordained it in individuals. He ordained it in our life. He ordained it in us so that we know what a kind is. Trees produce trees. Plants produce plants. Fish produce fish. Because they can produce after their own kind. And humans produce after their own kind. And humans have male and female so that they can produce after their own kind. Just to let you know, there's over 7 billion people in the world today. 7 billion people in the world, every one of them was born from a male and a female. Just to remind you about that. We produce after our own kind in doing that. It's the simplicity of the law. It can be illustrated in a couple of packets of seeds. If you have corn seeds and squash seeds, whatever you plant, that's what you're going to grow. Now you can plant corn and hope for squash. Squash on the cob. That would be pretty nice, wouldn't it? But it doesn't work that way. Because whatever you plant, that's what you're getting. That's what Paul was trying to help us understand in our life. We must be very careful about what we plant. Because if we're not careful about what we plant, the crop we're going to get is what we plant. For sure. That's why he says, whatever a man sows, that is what he is going to reap. That's what's going to happen. That's the simplicity of the law. But there's also the complexity of the law. It's found in Galatians 6, 7 again. It says, for whatever makes this law inclusive. It's inclusive. It applies to everyone and everything we sow. It applies to corn. It applies to squash. It applies to tomatoes. It applies to anger. It applies to goodness. It applies to kindness. It applies to temper. It applies to lying. It applies to whatever we sow. The complexity says that is what we are going to reap. The phrase also reaps makes a connection to what kind we have sown. You sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. Scary sometimes, isn't it? That's why we must think every day, what am I sowing where I'm going? For sure. The second thing is beginning again and again. Now, God set this law into motion about sowing and reaping way back in the very beginning, but man tested it early on. When Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he reaped the results of spiritual and physical death, along with a lot of other things, the complications, the soil, the ground, the women were in childbirth, and thorns and thistles, and all the things that were going to come and happen during that time. But because of Adam's sin in the beginning comes again and again and again to each one of us. We are born into sin. We are born with a sin nature. We have that. We get to reap what Adam sowed way back there in the garden. And it comes again and again to us. That's why in Romans 5:12 it says this, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. You see, we get to reap what Adam did, beginning again and again and again. And one of the family traits passed down from the beginning of man's desire to live independently. Adam and Eve wanted to live independently. And we still have that today. No one's going to tell me what to do. It's our pride. It's our independence. I don't care if it's God. I don't care who it is. No one's going to direct my life. And until we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and let Him lift us up, we will continue to recreate what Adam did, that sin, over and over and over again in our lives. So through Adam, the beginning comes again. And again. And then it says the beginning with a new beginning. In Adam, we didn't have the best beginning. And maybe in your life, you didn't have the best beginning. Maybe you look at your life and say, man, I messed up. I did some things and my life was a mess. Let me tell you what, God gives you a chance to start over and over and over again. He offers us a new beginning. We can sow a good crop and reap good. Adam messed it up, and God straightened it out. Aren't you happy? Man, aren't you glad that God straightened it out? Woo! Because if He didn't, what a mess we would be in. We're in a mess already. But God straightened it all out. Through God, a greater seed, Jesus Christ, would be sown so that man would not have to reap for eternity separation and sinfulness. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing God did, He kicked them out of the garden. He said, out of here. But the great thing is, He didn't leave them out there. He said, I will make a provision for you to come back to Me. God said, sin separated, but God said, My love brings us back together. And He did that through Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:15, it says this, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Grace abounded. Man, praise God. Adam sowed sin, and it caused us to be born in sin. But God sowed His own Son, planted Him in the earth, and 3 days later He came forth with His grace to give us hope, to give us joy, to give us peace, to give us justification before the Lord. Praise God for that. For that, for sure. A new beginning. Man, that's good news. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. For sure. But we got to begin with the end in mind, the fourth thing. Begin with the end in mind. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that will also reap. For he who sows in his flesh will reap flesh of corruption. But he who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Everlasting life. What does it mean to begin with the end in mind? Well, no one plants a garden without first knowing what they want to harvest. As we sow corn seeds, we begin to think about the end results. Man, hot buttered corn on the cob. We think about that. Oh, if I plant these little corn seeds, they're going to come up. And I'm going to nurture them. I'm going to take care of them. I could have gone to the store and bought corn, but I'm going to wait 3 months. I'm going to wait and see what. I'm going to water them, and I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to nurture them. I'm going to take the weeds away. And one of these days, I'm going to be able to pull off some corn and I'm going to have some hot buttered corn. See, we start with the end in mind. We start thinking, what are the end results going to be? The problem is, most of us in our Christian lives do not live that way. We do not live that way. What we do is we sow our wild oats and hope for a crop failure. Right? We don't want what we know we're going to get. We cannot sow lies and produce truth. We cannot sow sin and produce holiness. And we cannot sow discord and produce unity. We sow the spirits will reap the forces that lead us away from the sin. Lead us, if we sow to the Spirit. What does that mean? Man, I'm going to sow the good fruits. And the Scripture talks about those. Joy, peace, happiness, goodness, patience, those gifts that he tells us in Galatians 5, verse 22. He tells us about those things, that we're the crop that we want to have. If we want that to be there at the end, we got to start sowing that now. We got to plant that in our life now, because we're going to get whatever we sow. That's what the law says. Don't be deceived, is what he says in that scripture. Do not be deceived. What does deceive mean? We forget what it means. It means that we are lying to ourselves. Don't be deceived. Man, I can live the way I want. I can do what I want. Everything's going to be okay. It's not. Because the little things that you do today are going to grow. The little thoughts that you have today are going to grow. See, sin never begins with an action. Sin always begins in our hearts and in our minds. When we start thinking about it, and that's why in James it says, he says it becomes, it's a seed that's planted, and that plant is like a seed that's planted in a woman, and it goes through the birth, and one of these days it's going to be born when it's fully developed. And that's what happens with sin in our life. A little seed. No one's going to know about it. We're not going to have an affair. I just like talking to him. I just like talking to her. They understand me. And then we move to the next step. And it grows. But in James it says this, when it has come full force, it leads to death. You can't sow it. You can't sow it if you don't expect to reap it. I believe the greatest sowing, though, we can do is right here in God's Word. Get in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. The Scripture says, I have hidden thy Word in my heart that I may not sin against God. That's what it's for us in our lives. In Proverbs 11:18, it says this, the wicked man does deceptive work, but to him who sows righteousness will be a sure reward. That second law says this, you're going to get what you plant. Simple as that. You're going to get what you plant. In your life, what are you planting? Are you planting God's Word? Are you planting good things? Are you planting good thoughts? Are you planting positive things? Are you planting those things in your life? Because that's what you're going to get. Don't expect something different than what you're planting in your life and in your heart. Now, the great thing is this. I can plant something, and before it comes to maturity, I can chop it down. I can cut it out. I can take it out. In our life, if you're here and you say, man, I've been planting some things in here in my heart, in my life, lies or deceptions or whatever there, I know this. God says, let's get out there and let's pull some of that up. Let's cut some of those things down. Let's take those things out so that one of these days, when the crop comes, it'll be good. It'd be good. Bow your head with me this morning. What are you planting? What are you planting in your family? What are you planting with your children? What are you planting with your wife, with your husband, with your friends, with your church, with your job? What are you planting? Because the Bible says you're going to get what you plant. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you help us to plant righteousness and goodness. So that, Lord, we will reap a crop of righteousness and goodness in our hearts and our lives. This world desperately needs it. This world desperately needs it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.